I think there's something stopping them. I do think they need the shareholders, my dad, brother, like I mentioned, I do think they need to sit down and have a conversation first amongst themselves. And I don't, at least as far as I know, that hasn't happened. And so I feel like there's a block there, and I don't really know why. But for some reason, there's a block there. And I think after that block was overcome, I think then they would be more willing to sit down. But right now, they don't even know what they want. And so they're not willing to, you know, sit down with all of us.
Welcome to the Business Transition Roadmap. My name is Elizabeth Ledoux, and through my years, I have seen how communities thrive when business succession and transition are done well. Me and my team at the Transition Strategists have been helping business owners develop and implement transition strategies for over 30 years. And on this show, we want to help you by giving you the roadmap to a healthy business transition. Let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Business Transition Roadmap. I am so excited to be here with Danielle Scimeca. She is a person that I've been getting to know over probably the last year and a half or so. And I appreciate her so much. So, Danielle, thank you for being here with us today and for everything that you're going to share.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I am so happy to be here.
Nice. Danielle is a successor, and she is currently the president of FCT Water. She's got a great background and is a lawyer by degree. And so she acts as not only the president for that company and the general counsel for it as well, but also the general counsel for, I believe, all of the family businesses that your dad has been the founder and entrepreneur for. So anyway, Danielle, tell us a little bit about you and about how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So I got my undergraduate degree in philosophy and history from CU Boulder, and realized there was really only one path with that, and that was to law school. So there I went. I got my law degree from Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, which was unexpectedly fantastic. I started practicing in the Carolinas and then ended up coming home and working for the family business. And at the time, I was just doing the legal work for the business. And then I slowly started to take on more and more responsibility. And yeah, I have now found myself running our water treatment business with my brother-in-law.
Nice. Nice. So tell us a little bit maybe about the family business or family businesses, right? Mm-hmm. What's the scope of that, and maybe a little bit about how those came to be.
Yeah, so my dad started his first business in 1991, and it was called Florida Certec. It's still around today, and they manufacture chemicals for the PCB board industry. And then, you know, they did that for a little while. And in 2002, they added FCT Water Treatment. And then they added another company in 2004, which is now their largest company, FCT Assembly. And then they have, from then on, they've merged, taken a division and merged with another one. And they have another recycling company. So at this moment in time, we have about five family companies, I'll refer to them as for today.
That sounds great. And in your family companies, I think that you have quite a few different family members working in some or all, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So my dad started the business with one of his best friends. And later on, shortly after the 1991, when it started, my uncle got involved, my dad's brother, and he is still a shareholder and is involved on the day-to-day basis for one of the businesses as well. Like I mentioned, I run the water treatment company with my brother-in-law, so he's involved. And my husband works for runs one of the different company, and yeah, I'm sure I'm missing people, but it's a complicated web.
Right. And you know, it's interesting, I think, for people to hear a little bit about that background and sort of how it's put together, because yeah. It's not unusual to have a business owner who's successful start other companies besides the first one, and also mm-hmm. To include different family members in different aspects of it, depending on their interest level and also their skills that they might.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I mean, you've met my dad, Elizabeth, at least once. And he is, when I look at him, what he's built and just the legacy that he's, well, he's still alive, just to be clear, but the legacy that he will leave, he is extremely generous. Like, he is the most generous person. He sees every glass as half full always. And he believes the best in people. He is a people forward person, and that will never change. And so, you know, when he has an opening or we're struggling with something, the first thing is like, who do I know that has this really unique skill set? And oftentimes the who do I know comes from within, right? It comes from family or friends. And, you know, that's not always a good thing, but I'm of the opinion that it's not always a bad thing either.
Yeah, I think that it gives people opportunity. And earlier today, we were running our Big Six program, and mm-hmm. It's a 6-week program where we each week the people that are in it go through one of the tools in the Big Six questions. So the four W's, right? The why, the what, the who, the when, and then mm-hmm. the how and how much are the other two, but. We were in that, and it's terrific how business owners are optimistic at times about people's skills and providing opportunities for them, even when they have to go figure it out or learn it or do something like that. It's, you know, it's, I think, where some innovation comes, but it's also where people around them start to feel kind of honored and good about what they can do and what they can learn.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I've seen in and out working with my dad, for sure.
Yeah, which is really cool. So I love your perspective as a successor, because in my experience, the successor's learning curve is so big and it's so steep at times. So I'm appreciative that you're here to share just kind of what your journey's been like coming into these businesses. And, so when coming in, what has worked for you? What's been great, great support, great, things that you might've done? What's been great?
So I think first things first is I've always had a very special relationship with my dad. And I get to live that, you know, every day. So there's something really great about that. And it's not always great. Trust me, it's not always great. But that has been nice. And I like to learn. I'm curious. I like pace. And so in a way, that learning curve sometimes has become overwhelming, for sure, no question. But it's also nice because I don't like to be stuck anywhere. So it's good. It's been a good way for me to kind of just keep growing and find my footing. I think the other thing that's been good, I want to say for both parties, is it provides a little bit of, I don't know if security is the word or maybe stability, but for me, I came back and started working for the family businesses when I found out I was pregnant with my first child. And so to me, you know, working with a law firm, billable hours, all of that stuff, I was like, well, that's not exactly what I want when I'm a mom. So I came here and, you know, I have a little... any business. Like I have a little more flexibility than I had previously, which has been nice. But I think from my dad's perspective too, he doesn't have to search so far for an exit strategy in some of these ways. And it's not just me, to make that clear. You know, my husband in the one business, my brother-in-law, maybe a third party, but there's somebody else along the way kind of helping him in me. I always joke that I'm the, when people ask me my job title, I tell them I'm the hand of the king for all of those that are Game of Thrones lovers out there. I'm like, yeah, I'm the strategy behind the man. Because, you know, and I think that works for both of us. I think that's really worked so far for sure. The other thing is that I'm super competitive and he's really competitive and a lot of us are really competitive. And so it's kind of fun. It's a fun environment. We bring that out in each other, which is really enjoyable.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it's glad that you can be competitive together
and yeah.
Appreciate. Yeah. The drive, I guess, behind it.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
For sure.
Very cool. So when you think about, you know, just over the years, what's been more challenging? Maybe that you look back and you go, man, that was really not good. It didn't work. Or, potentially something that was just so confusing that you wish it would have been cleared up ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think I'm still living in that space. So I can speak, from a now perspective as well. I wish the path was a little bit more defined, or at least even the like the bumpers on the path. Like if you don't want to define the path itself, like let's at least agree on some parameters here. And I'm not even, I know I'm not speaking just for myself there either. My husband, my brother-in-law, I think all of us as successors, we all feel that pain a little bit of, okay, what is the roadmap for us here? What exactly is the end goal? And I think there feels like there's a lack of transparency or a lack of understanding and like what exactly is the objectives of the shareholders. And to be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure that the shareholders are on the same page as far as what the path is. So I think that's probably the biggest struggle right now is just feeling slightly lost in where we're going.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask the question. So, and it kind of around in a story or an experience setting, from what I've seen when I come in and work with successors, and we've done that in our firm, what we've found is there's that the founder, owner, wealth creator is navigating forward.
Yep.
And they're still engaged and they're still working and working hard, bringing in those successors and teaching and doing all of those things and, you know, providing opportunity. So there's all good in that. And sometimes there's not, because the owner founder doesn't know for sure what they're interested in or have all the pieces of the puzzle. They actually don't communicate that because they're unsure themselves. Of where they're headed. And many times when you get family members involved in things, you're afraid to make a statement because it's almost like a promise.
Yeah.
It almost comes out that way, right? And so you get afraid to say something, but you also are unsure of truly where you're headed and what you want. On the successor side, that creates the opportunity for people not to know where they're going, not to be able to engage, not to be able to commit. And the team just can't work together in the same way that it might be able to if there was something ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's funny because I feel like my dad is, I know I said that wasn't transparent, but sometimes he's too transparent where he does say things and then you're like, hey, well, is that something we're following? Like, is that for sure? Is that something we're following up on here? or are we working through things? So I think even that, like, he's very transparent, but that still creates this lack of, there's still a lack of clarity on like what is and what isn't. And I think I have a more open relationship with him maybe than anybody else. So I can call it as I see it. Like, hey, that doesn't make sense. Is that for real or is it not for real? What do we need to do to get there? But a lot of other people don't have that relationship. So, right. Yeah. So it makes it even more challenging.
Yeah. So do they come to you to be the spokesperson to go tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, do you end sometimes. Up being that person?
Sometimes for sure. Or it's more like, I hear the noise and then I feel like I have to say to him, hey, I don't know exactly what you said here, but there's some noise going on in the background. You might need to clean up.
Yeah. So how do you think it would, you know, just wandering down that road, how do you think it would help you and maybe also the other successors to have the bumpers, to have that?
Yeah. I think we could all, I know this is a common phrase, but I think it would just get us all to where we're going faster, more efficiently. You know, without, as I don't want to say mistakes, but without the little bumps in the road or hiccups. And then, you know, not that there's ever any hostility, there's really not, but, or very rarely, but you get all of that on away, like it all goes away. And now we're working from a place of openness and, you know, what exactly are we doing? We all know we're all moving there. Same direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same speed even, because some of us might want to go faster than others. And I think that's a point of contention sometimes too. So there's a lot of little nuances that I feel like are still not answered.
Yeah. I used to, a long time ago, I used to do a presentation, and I used to imagine or have the audience imagine like a dog sled, right? Mm-hmm. The business is the dog sled. And yeah. You've had maybe one dog, right? The owner founder leading that dog sled. And it's pretty good because they can move and turn and do whatever they want to. And then as you start to add dogs under this, you know, this team, if you have one dog that kind of goes slower than the other, and one that kind of is moving to the right instead of forward, and one who, you know, wants to go faster, and they're just kind of doing their own thing because they don't know where they're headed and how fast yes. they're going to get there. You can imagine how rough the ride is in that dog sled, right?
I feel that. So much right now. Like, yes, absolutely.
That's so funny. So, so as you have come into this, what do you think is completely missing?
Let's see. What's completely missing? I don't know if it's completely missing, but I think getting everybody into a room. So what's missing is the fact that we haven't all sat down. We haven't all had a seat at the table together. I think we've all had separate conversations, with my dad or maybe his brother or maybe even another shareholder. But we've not all sat down and all had the conversation together. And I think that's probably what's missing for us.
Nice. And then the value of being able to do that would be, again, just you being on the same page, same direction, because you have multiple family businesses with different people in different businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe each one of the businesses, I'm putting words in your mouth potentially, yeah. but maybe each one of the businesses has a good strategy, has a good plan. Yep. But maybe it's the overarching that you're thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. We all have goals and, you know, rocks, goals, dreams for that division. One we're looking at selling, one we know we want to keep, the other one we're going to hold for a while and then figure it out. So we kind of have, or I kind of have this idea of what each company, where it's going. But I don't know how involved the ownership wants to be. I don't know how involved my dad wants to be. I don't know how long they want to hold stock for. I don't. So there's some of those pieces that can get really, I think, make some people even feel like very insecure in their work and like, well, are we ever going to see this? Are we ever going to be able to buy in? Or are they just going to hold it forever? Is it actually going to sell? Do they want it to sell? Do we want it to sell? So I think the overarching idea for all of the companies is really what's missing.
Got it. Yeah. And that brought up, you know, there are feelings sometimes of waiting and waiting and waiting as a successor. So, you know, will it ever happen and when? Especially with some of the owners being active, healthy, and being engaged longer, because they are able now with our health system and, you know, health and technology, you're able to be more engaged for a longer period of time, feeling better, living better. And then, so there's that. And then there's also the flip of that where, there sometimes is a fear of the rug being pulled out from underneath you, that you put in your effort, your time, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, now we're going to, you know, this isn't working, or we're going to sell. And then, you know, what about you?
Totally. Well, and I think, you know, I'm not one of the people trying to push them out. Like, I would like my dad to stay engaged, but I see how, like, he's working 60 hour weeks now. And I'm like, you should not be working 60 hour weeks. You should be playing pickleball and with my mom and spending time with the kids and doing some of that stuff too. And so, I think there's a healthy balance there for sure. And yeah, for myself, I mean, exactly what you said. I think a lot of us feel like there are other things that we could be doing that we've chosen not to do. And, if that rug is going to be pulled out from under us, well, I mean, frankly, we'd like to know now.
Sure. Sure. Or have the opportunity to have a conversation that it wouldn't be. Yeah. But not that. Yeah. Not that a owner, usually owners are so generous and so helpful. They're trying to be, right? Sometimes it backfires on us. We think we're doing it, but we're really not. And sometimes the belief on that owner founder's side declines just because of, you know, how people are navigating some of the issues in the business. And instead of open communication, what happens is, what I've seen is you end up with an owner losing confidence sometimes in their successors. Not because the successors aren't trying, but because there's a lack of communication, right? Yeah. Neither side really knows what the other one's expecting of them and the commitment that each one has made. And so there's just this kind of gray area between that can be detrimental at times.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So, so if you were to have everybody sit down at a table, and if you were to have this terrific strategy forward, and the communication, how do you think that would change the way the successors come in and approach, I guess, their jobs and their roles?
So I guess it partially depends on what the plan is, but assuming it's a plan that everyone agrees on, or feels comfortable with, I think coming in to work, like some of these, I'll call them sacrifices, but, some of these sacrifices where it's like, whether it's like a monetary sacrifice, or a time sacrifice, or, you know, maybe this kind of time, but you're traveling a lot, you're away from the family or whatever you're doing. I think all we can rest assured that all of that we're doing will be worth it. Because we're not treated, to be fair, we are not treated like a normal employee, or certainly I'm not treated like a normal employee. And there are pros and cons to that for sure. And one of, you know, the cons is that I don't actually know if all of my quote unquote sacrifices or the things that I've done will pay off at the end. And absolutely. I'm a little more comfortable with that than others. I'm like, yeah, I'm learning. It's fine. But, you know, there are some others that are not, don't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. They want more foundation, I guess. There's no such thing as a sure thing, right? Really.
Yeah.
Because you're basically in a team environment trying to figure out how to navigate a good transition and, you know, whether it's a short period of time or a long period of time, you just don't know, because none of us really know how long we're going to be able to do what we're doing today. But I could see that.
I also do think from, you know, the other side of things, I do think it would help the shareholders, my dad, his brother, the other ones, I actually think it would help them reach their goals faster too, or that's my belief. If we all know where we're going, we can all help get there quicker, more efficiently. And so I think what they don't understand is that actually by not having that conversation, they're not really doing themselves justice either.
Right. Right. So, you know, just guessing, what do you think stands behind them either not having or not wanting? Those are two different things. Not seeing a need, not having a high sense of urgency to have those conversations. What do you think stands in their way of doing that?
Yeah, I think one thing is I feel like there's, and I don't think the word I don't know that the word afraid is the right word, but I think there's something stopping them. I do think they need the shareholders, my dad, brother, like I mentioned, I do think they need to sit down and have a conversation first amongst themselves. And I don't, at least as far as I know, that hasn't happened. And so I feel like there's a block there and I don't really know why. But for some reason, there's a block there. And I think after that block was overcome, I think then they would be more willing to sit down. But right now, they don't even know what they want. And so they're not willing to, you know, sit down with all of us.
Sure. Yeah. And trying to figure out what you want is a, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a super simple decision. It's a shift in your whole life. And also a shift in, if you have partners, it's a shift in the relationship. It's a shift in how you work together or not, right? There is a big bittersweet in saying, wow, I finally made it to where I don't have to work the 60 hours, to wow, I don't have to work 60 hours, right? I'm not needed as much. I don't, I'm not as important, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and there, you know, I think the shareholders are all at different points too. They have different needs, you know, in and amongst themselves that I don't think they are ready and willing to sit down and be vulnerable with each other about quite yet.
Yeah. 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 So the dynamic of a person transitioning out and maybe not quite being ready, then the dynamic of a successor coming in and also not being quite ready.
Yeah.
Right. There are two people at a minimum, two people that are going through a transition into a place that they haven't, into something that they haven't done before.
Yeah.
Right.
And not, it's a little scary.
It's a little scary. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And you're brave in navigating it and walking through it and being your dad's right hand. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's fun. It really is fun most of the time. Some days it's not fun. There's no question. But a lot of days it really is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll ask this last question, then I have one more, and it's going to be, what would you like to leave with our audience today? Because we're amazingly at our time already.
But that one's
what do you do, and how do you navigate keeping a strong relationship with your father when you're in a business relationship with him also? Like, what are some of the things that you've used that have worked for you to maintain a great relationship with him?
Yeah. So, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with somebody else recently, and there's no question that my relationship with my dad is not the same as it used to be. And it's not the same as what it would be if I worked somewhere else. There's just no denying that, but we've found little things. We've gone through, pretty low parts, I would say. He would never admit it, I don't think, because that's my dad. He's like, it's always great, but it hasn't always been great. But we've found little things that we enjoy doing together. Like one thing for example, is hot yoga. I love to do hot yoga, and I drag him along with me because he needs it, even if he doesn't think he does.
And nice, so, nice.
Every now and then we'll go to hot yoga and go get coffee afterwards. And we'll typically talk about, you know, sometimes work comes up depending on what's going on, but, talk about the kids or, you know, things that really don't have anything to do with work, which is nice. So I think finding those little things, and he plays a lot of tennis. And so I'll go out there and hit with him or drill him. I prefer drilling him because then I get like payback for growing up with him drilling me. So we find like little activities and things to do outside of work, I think, which help ground us. And certainly the kids help too, because he's a great grandpa. So it's like, we'll never stop going around.
Yep. Yep. So basically putting your relationship first.
Yeah.
Keeping a connection outside of work.
And, yeah.
Sounds like a great appreciation for each other.
Yeah, I think there's great respect there. I have, you know, my dad's always been, he's always been like that light, you know, for me growing up. And though it is different, it's just, I have so much appreciation and respect for him, what he's built, and how he treats people, how he treats me. And I feel that reciprocated, which I think is really important.
Yeah. 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 And I like that idea of reciprocation, because without it, I think sometimes successors feel talked down to at times.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, when is that appropriate? When is that maybe not appropriate? And how do you just say, hey, you know, I'm hurting here, or that wasn't quite right, or, and having the opportunity to be able to be transparent and vulnerable with each other is, I think, mm-hmm. of great importance. So,
yeah. And I'm a lucky one in that instant. Like, I can always sit my dad down and tell him exactly what I feel. So I'm lucky.
You are lucky that you get to live. Yeah. And he listens. So that's nice.
He does. He does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gosh. Okay. So yeah, we are totally at our time. And Danielle, just thank you for coming in and for being so transparent with us and sharing your experience of what it's like to be a successor, and also your perspective on being with your dad, that great owner founder. So if you were to leave one thing with the audience, what one thing would you leave? What one piece of advice or recommendation?
It would probably be to be transparent. That's, I feel like, been the theme of the conversation, is transparency. Take the time to sit down, take the time to have the conversations, and take the time to continue your relationship, like you said, after, outside of work too. So just take the time to be transparent in all aspects of the relationship.
Thank you. That's very, very powerful. So thanks for leaving that with us. All right, everybody. So thank you, Danielle. Just appreciate you and everything that you're doing. And best of luck to you and your family in your navigating of your transition. You're on a great path.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll have some good updates in years to come.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Business Transition Roadmap. If you are listening to this and you find yourself wanting to go deeper into these topics and start the process of putting together your transition strategy, I'd love to offer you a free initial strategy session with my team, where we'll help you to explore the future transition of your business. Head over to www.transitionstrategist.com to schedule a call. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Business Transition Roadmap.